Sire Lia. Some things should never be. It is foolish to chase reflections. They only ever lead to shadows. Alador, High King of Dorshak. A man cloaked in forest green rode his chestnut steed into Arendal. He had a sword with jeweled pommel about his left hip, and a small mirror bound in cloth hung from his belt on the opposite side. His face was obscured by the emerald hood of his cloak, shadowing the twin scars that ran from his left eye to his upper lip. And a smile shone there as he peered out from the hood with piercing gold irises. On this day, the large oak gates of the city were wide open to travelers and all folk of the small fiefdoms that dotted the Ferahen fields. Nobles and commoners alike would come from throughout the surrounding hills and plains that owed allegiance to Arendal. The stranger urged his chestnut into the bustling city. No guards barred the way, for today was a special day, one that only came once every 5 years, the eve of the second sun, Eir Lia. Eir Lia marked the start of 2 years under two suns, bringing warmth and prosperous yields to the rich farmlands of the kingdom. It marked the last day where, for the past 3 years, the sky was only graced with the light of one sun. On this night, there would be much merrymaking, many children would be conceived, and games and merchant stalls would line the streets. Folk would buy food and wares, and all would be taxed, payment owed to King Arendal. Arendal would never close its gates during Eir Lia. It was the sort of understanding and good faith that most respected. And despite the chaos, it was a peaceful day for the city. Still, guards patrolled the streets in number, but they mostly looked after the well-being of the merrymakers, jailing those who had too much drink or otherwise disturbed the peace of the day. There would be no charges brought against those who got carried away with the celebration. Punishment was only reserved for capital crimes during Eir Lia. The emerald-cloaked man urged his chestnut mare up the inclining path toward the palace of Arendal, passing by merchants and commoners. He found it to be too loud for his liking. People shouted over the cacophony of merrymaking, and the fireworks boomed. The sky was painted dusky red as the sun lowered itself toward the horizon, ending 3 years without the sister sun. The celebration would last until dawn, though many would be sleeping by then. Only the most seasoned drunkards were still conscious for the rising of the two suns. A merrymaker backed into the green-clad rider as he rounded a corner. The commoner, visibly drunk, splashed the contents of his cup onto the emerald stranger's leg.
A thousand pardons, my good sir. I seem to have shared my drink with you in a most impolite manner.
The reveler slurred his words, raised his copper cup, and downed its contents. The rider eyed him from under his hood, then shook his head and smiled playfully. It's a hazard of the day, I suppose. No harm done. May Eir Lia bring you immeasurable joy for the next 5 years, he said, goading his horse forward through the crowd.
Oh, 5 years? Worth of joy to be had tonight. What's your name, traveler?
I have no name I wish to give until I reach my goal, I fear, the rider said.
Very well. I'm cursed in a similar way, to be known as, many things, to be, known as.
The merrymaker raised his cup again and attempted another sip, only to find it empty as he closed one eye and peered into its bottom. The green-clad stranger was on business of great import. He came here for one reason alone. He would seek an audience with the king, Reindal the Redblade, who held counsel with one whom he loved, a woman of many skills whose knowledge of his own soul would aid in what was to come. And she was said to be here advising the Redblade in matters of statecraft.
I hope she has forgiven me, though I would not blame her if she has not,
the Emerald Rider thought to himself, resisting that dark aspect which dwelt in the mirror at his side, waiting to take hold when necessary. 8 guardsmen clad in black mail lined the steps leading up to the doors of the palace, their spear tips nearly a head higher than the sharp apices of their helms, all metals scratched and buffed to a dull luster. They wore crimson capes bearing the 7-pointed Star of Dreth, the royal seal of Herendal's founding kings. Legend held that the 7-pointed star fell from the heavens, guiding Dreth the kind-hearted to the hill on which this palace was built and the founding of Herendal. As the rider came upon the steps leading up to the oddly curled awnings of the wooden palace, he dismounted and put his hands out to either side. The 2 guardsmen on the bottom stair drew closer, lowering their spears as the matte gray blades were ready to skewer if needed. The one on the left shouted over the din of fireworks.
Who approaches the palace of King Reindal on Aelia? His lordship has requested all audiences to be sought on the day after tomorrow. He will only speak with those who are guests, and only those who present invitation with royal seal are to be permitted guests of our great king. Do you have your invitation?
The green-cloaked stranger removed his hood, revealing the twin scars that ran parallel from his left eye to the top of his lip.
Aye, I do. It is here, if I may present it, the stranger said.
He took several steps forward while reaching into his cloak.
Careful, sir. Approach slowly and reveal what's in your hand, the guard said.
I am no threat, sir. I merely wish to celebrate Aelia in good company.
The emerald-cloaked man produced a small slip of paper, adorned with a wax stamp bearing the royal seal of Herendal, evidence of its authenticity. The guardsman snatched the paper as the stranger drew close, flinching at the loud crack of a firework expanding various colors overhead. He examined it for a time, then nodded warily.
Forgive me, but your tattered travel attire raises suspicion. But all is in order, it seems. Very well, then, up you go. You'll need to leave that sword, though. We will return it to you when you take your leave.
The guardsman gestured to the stranger's blade.
So be it. I shan't have need for it anyway.
The green-clad man smiled, lifting the twin scars on the left side of his face. Then he unbelted the sword and handed it to the guard, his mirror still at his side. He strode up the stairs and into the great hall of the Red Blade. Inside the hall, the green-cloaked wanderer was greeted with warm light from various braziers and cooking hearths. 2 long tables ran the length of the hall, seating many elegantly dressed guests who were engrossed in the festivities and feasting. Though several guests turned a curious eye as the stranger entered. The 2 long tables terminated against the shorter one, where sat King Reindal. He took a generous bite from the leg of some roasted animal, and various liquids shone on his unkempt gray beard as he washed the food down with a large goblet of wine.
Can I take your coat, sir?
Asked a pale man, his thin fingers removing the emerald cloak from the stranger.
Much obliged, the green wanderer replied.
The pale man folded the stained cloak and passed it to the servant behind him.
Honored guest, firstly, let us make your introduction to his lordship. Then we shall find you a proper seat. You shall have food and ale to your heart's content,
said the pale man. He gestured his thin lizard-like hand toward the king.
"What are you called by, sir?" he quested, lifting an eyebrow as he moved his eyes over the stranger's trail-worn tunic. "You may introduce me as Hathryn, Lord of Yavale," Hathryn replied, looking from the pale man to the king. A young man with gold hair and thin beard sat to the king's left. Further left, there was an old man with a clean-shaven face and distant eyes that seemed to observe everything and nothing at once. The thin braids below his ears and the blue beret atop his head marked him as one of the sages of Samrael, the ancient order of magicians who kept the knowledge they held guarded from the rest of the world. Hathryn was ushered forward by the pale man, and he locked eyes with her as he approached the king. The red-haired beauty cocked her head as he stopped in front of their table. She looked past him absently with green eyes that stabbed at his heart as viciously as the thin rapier she wore.
"Who comes so late to the merrymaking? This latecomer that mine eyes fails to recognize."
The king bellowed with a shifty glance and a chuckle. The pale man cleared his throat and gestured wide.
"I introduce the Lord Hathryn of Yavale. You may now greet the king, my lord."
The pale man bowed then to Hathryn and turned on a heel to take up his place at the entrance once more.
"Hathryn, Lord of Yavale? You must forgive me. I have not had the pleasure. Tell me, where is this Yavale? And how did you get an invitation?"
King Rheindahl asked before he let out a loud belch. Hathryn cleared his throat, and the noise in the hall died to a conspiratorial murmur. "I have other titles, great king, which you may know me by."
"He comes at my invitation, king?"
The red-haired woman stood from her seat.
"He is my guest and my husband," she added, her lip curling downward.
The king leaned forward, looking quite serious. Then he burst into laughter.
"Very well. Get our guest some ale and let him dine at the king's table tonight. He may sit at your side, Sindar, my chief counsel and trusted advisor."
The king waved a hand, and the guests on the other side of Sindar moved down to allow room for Hathryn. The young man on the other side of the king glowered at the exchange. He stood and spoke.
"My king, I should like to hear these other titles. He is offered to..."
The king waved a dismissive hand.
"Sit down, Prince Theen. I am sure we will hear of the husband of Lady Sindar. For she is wise and must have found a man worthy of her greatness, I am sure. But father..."
Theen was cut off by a scowl from the king. The prince sat down, folding his arms and letting a questioning glance rest on the man standing before the table. The wanderer, who was named Hathryn, gave a low bow to the king. Then he turned on his heel and rounded the edge of the hall, taking his place at the table alongside Sindar, whose beautiful red hair and deep eyes were just as mesmerizing as the last time he saw them.
"Thank you for this grand display of hospitality. Those who speak of your generosity surely do not exaggerate, King Rheindahl,"
Hathryn said as servants placed a plate of fine food down and filled the cup before him. The king grunted and waved his hand. Sindar took a long sip of wine from her matte copper goblet, scuffed to a dull sheen that made little to no reflection, looking away from Hathryn's ostentatious grin and shaking her head.
"So, you've not forsaken me entirely, then, my love? That was risky, lying for me like that."
"Speak louder, maybe, if you intend for all to hear. It seems you come to send my life into chaos, as you often do. I never cast you aside, Hathryn. You left me, remember? I waited days at the crossroads stones in Mevrial.
She paused and inhaled.
You never came. I feared you dead or worse.
Sindar took another drink and shook her head.
You're lucky I didn't advise that you go the way of the gallows and accuse you of all sorts of heinous crimes.
The din of the feast covered their conversation. They appeared as lovers do, whispering to one another.
Aye, it was a gamble for true, but I hoped you'd give me the chance to make it right, to explain. There were many things that kept me from you until now. I've come because I have no other choice,
Hathrin said.
So there it is. You're in need of some knowledge or come to convince me to abuse my position in court. You're so transparent, my love.
It's not like that, Sin.
I do need your help, yes. I mean, it is... I need you by my side. I fear this may be my final journey as I am, and I would not consign myself to death before a final chance to look into those eyes that so enslave me.
Hathrin looked around conspiratorially, then added,
I will cross the Ferahen Plains and those twisted shadows. I will enter ancient Dorshak.
Sindar said nothing, swirling the liquid in her goblet. Sounds of Irelia's festivities offered a backdrop to the companionable lack of conversation. She shook her head, then tilted her goblet for a long drink. With a long breath, Sindar touched her ruby lips to Hathrin's ear.
It's suicide, even for you. It's Mad City. Would you invite me to die with you, or worse? I'm a tactician, not some conjurer of old. I'm not like you.
She hoped the last bit didn't sting as harshly as it sounded.
And that's precisely why I need you. Sin, you know what he's like. You are the only one who can control him. He'll listen to you. I'll listen to you. I just don't want to hurt anyone,
Hathrin confided with a sigh.
I know not what we shall find in those cursed ruins, though I am plagued by the same dark magics that dwell within. It would be the place I know.
Red-haired Sindar winced and looked down at the table.
Very well. I will accompany you. With the condition that you spill it all, the lot of it. How can we fix you there? How do you know? And is it truly your desire?
She gave him a piercing glance with those brilliant green eyes. Those eyes. They had convinced Hathrin and his reflection to stand against nations, to stand in shadow as a torch in the night.
I'll tell you everything tomorrow, I promise. But not now. We must drink and be merry for your lord king,
Hathrin said, raising his cup.
Aye, let us not dwell on the topic, my love. None are free to venture near the mad city. It's treason even to speculate on what lies inside those crumbling walls.
Rose-haired Sindar whispered. She drew in with a smile.
I think you would entertain this hall with tales of your titles. You have many, and you rarely grow short of breath.
Sindar winked as she curled her lip wickedly. Sindar put an accusatory finger in Hathrin's face and added,
One more thing. I want your word that you won't let him out unless it's necessary.
She stabbed her knife into the table.
I mean it. You said you need me to keep him, to keep you on the level. Well, I won't be doing it on my own.
Hathrin opened his mouth to speak, but said nothing. He nodded and smiled instead. After some time, the king stood and raised a glass.
So, Hathrin, Lord of Yavel, tell your host of your lands and your titles. Sindar has said very little of a husband since she became my thane and advisor. only that she was married to someone who was very, 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 far away. Yet here you are.
Rangdahl the Red Blade finished his toast and took a long sip, then thrust his cup behind him, a servant filling it to the brim.
And so it begins, Sindar said, putting a finger to her lip as she sat back.
Aye, great king, I shall tell you of my titles and how they were earned. I only hope you will hold me in the same regard as you do now, for we cannot return here once I spin my tale for you,
Haythrin said, accepting the toast with a drink from his goblet. He downed the red liquid in one gulp.
And if you'll excuse my mediocre bard craft, I'll weave it in the fabric of verse.
And now hear my first title, Silverslinger, the earning of which entangled my fate to my beautiful Sindar.
Haythrin bellowed across the hall. Cheers rose from the guests, but Sindar shook her head and laughed. This wasn't the first time she had heard the tale, and she wondered what embellishments might take form tonight in its telling. Haythrin took a deep breath and slammed his cup upon the hard oak table.
Thud, 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 thud,
a simple rhythm. Those in the hall followed with stamping feet and tablewares.
A man without a cause, landless, lawless, I wandered in the cold. Not but the sword, selling my arm and blade to those who offered gold. I traded lives for stones, gems I once thought flawless, till the beauty you behold.
Haythrin gestured to Sindar, who rolled a hand in the air and slammed her own cup on the table with the other, joining the beating rhythm.
She told me of a kingdom whose coffers offered riches and my service to be sold.
King Rheindahl clapped his hands to the rhythm and shouted with joy at the unforeseen entertainment. Haythrin curled his lip, his twin scars lifting as he looked at Sindar, then continued with the next verse.
I told her the finest rubies in the world were but an imitation of her hair. The greatest emerald ever cut could never shine as brilliant as her eyes. And so I would fight for thee and die for thee if only she would care. To walk with me in moonlight, her hand to hold, my heart to be her prize. I followed her to battle, hard fought and hardly won. The host of King Calandri outnumbered us 5-1. We lined the river Freyan. The red-haired lady would not run. I met that lord of Lendalion on that field, my death song nearly sung. Against his strength my sword was broken. I had leather sling, though I did not have a stone. In my purse was held a single silver token. I slung that sterling true, and his skull was shattered bone. I had slain Lendalion's lord. We held a bloody line, like thorns upon the vine. Yet his legions like water poured. We fought and died for what seemed an endless time. Crimson red the water of the ford. She led her crescent swords atop desert steeds down into the horde. The battle of Kiesden was won by my red-haired lady. When the din of steel had faded, she stood a ruby in the sun, her emerald eyes a twinkle. I knew our story had begun. My Lady Sindar.
Haythrin took a bow, grasping Sindar's hand tenderly. She was greeted with an uproar of cheers.
Thus, they call me Silverslinger in Heraldaen, the land of Our Lady Sindar.
King Rheindahl bellowed.
What a tale! What a tale! In all our seasons together, my lady, you have neglected to boast of your deeds. I heard tell it was you who bested Landellion with brilliant tactics. You are truly modest enough for both of you, Sindar. Silverslinger, please do tell us another. I fear your wife will keep all the glory till her grave lays claim. A wise king am I to keep such company as your beautiful Sindar.
Sindar scoffed. She had no need of spinning outlandish embellishments. The Western world knew plenty. She was content to let the deeds speak for themselves. Haethryn, however, never missed a chance to tell a good story, even if it meant bending the truth. She looked at her husband as he smiled at her, and his gentle expression cut the harshness of his scarred face. This was the man she fell in love with. The other was merely a piece she disliked, but could never loathe. She wondered then, would he love her so if she had been the one cursed to walk in mirrors? What darkness lurked in her that remained hidden? Sindar tried to think about something else. Haethryn jumped up onto the table.
Right then, Lord Redblade of Herendal, let us hear from your guests. Would you like me to tell of how the Sultan of Raldia named me Serpent Fang?
The noblemen and merchants rose in a clamor of cheers at that, and the king himself stood, sloshing the wine from his cup. Prince Theen was not convinced. He rose abruptly and stepped onto the table. Food and tablewares scattered in his wake as he trudged along the table to where Haethryn stood.
Silverslinger, a silly title, is it not? Stranger, husband of Lady Sindar, I refuse to believe that a man like you bested the warrior king of Landellion. We all know from the official accounts that it was Sindar's tactical proficiency that won that battle.
The upstart gestured widely to the hall. Haethryn looked to Sindar and sighed.
It is why we hired her. You spin tales. You're a jester. Nothing more,
the prince accused. King Rheindahl grabbed his son's fine silken tunic at its hem and tugged at it.
My son, you make us fools among honored guests this Aelia. Stand down, my boy. You mustn't let your feelings for Sindar get...
I do only what's necessary, father. There is something about this vagabond that doesn't feel right.
Prince Theen locked his eyes with Haethryn as he spit the words out. And all grew quiet in the hall.
This is most irregular, young Theen. Please be reasonable.
The old sage of Samrael, who had been silent until now, pleaded. The prince raised a finger.
I know what I'm doing, wise Andalin.
Then he turned back to the Emerald Traveler. Haethryn offered a slight bow of his head.
I apologize for my offense, great prince. I...
Prince Theen snatched the cloth-covered object from Haethryn's waist, the leather string unraveling to reveal what it was. The room sighed as onlookers gasped in surprise, the light glinting off the object. Prince Theen looked down at it, then thrust it from his grip. It fell flat on the table with a dull thud, and Haethryn looked down at it unwillingly. Sindar lunged forward, but it was too late. Haethryn stared into the reflection offered by the mirror. He met golden eyes and raven hair, two diagonal scars, identical and opposite. Then he changed. The Fields of Ferahen. Some information is far too dangerous to allow unchecked dissemination. Guarding such knowledge is one of our most sacred tasks. Third tenet of the sages of Samrael. The bells of Herendal rang loud the next morning as the sister sons rose, together for the first time in 3 years, marking 2 years of prosperity and the end of Irelia. That bright morning light shone through the windows of the palace, the crimson staining a dull brown where the blood had dried on the wood. It streaked the walls and pooled in copper red on the floor. Prince Thaen, now King Thaen, sobbed over the corpse of Reindal the Redblade, who had been slain by the Mirror Walker the night before. That cursed Hathren, Silverslinger.
"I'm sorry, Father. I was careless. For that you paid the price. But rest easy and go to the fastness, knowing that I will avenge you, even if it means we are reunited before long."
King Thaen of Herendal said, taking his father's sword and belting it at his waist. He rose to face the guardsmen filling into the palace and gestured widely to the bloodied woods surrounding him.
"We shall marshal a force to run down these assassins. Ready my horse and 100 of our best warriors. This murderer will die slowly upon the wheel with that serpent-tongued woman we so foolishly trusted. What say you?"
King Thaen unsheathed his father's sword and thrust it upward. Steel rang out in response, accompanied by a roar that shook the floors of the hall. Thaen turned a glance to Andolin, the sage of Samrael and servant of Herendal.
"What say you, wise tutor? I would use your knowledge of the old magic to aid in avenging our king."
Andolin put a finger to his chin and nodded.
"I will come, young Thaen. Let me offer guidance so that you may rule for many years hence."
Thaen nodded to his wizard, and with a host of 100 able warriors, they rode out from Herendal. Being a small force, the column moved quickly along the plain, following the hoofprints of those hunted. Andolin, sage of Samrael, rode alongside the newly crowned king. Many of the guardsmen rode along warily, hoping for an excuse to change course. The tracks they followed led toward that ruined city, whose shadows were said to play tricks on the mind.
"So, wise conjurer, what fell happening made that demon who slew my father and the dozen others last night?"
Thaen asked. The sage removed his blue beret, fanning his face and revealing the bald patch atop his head. Indeed, the braids below his ears were the only hair he had left. He held the reins of his horse and sighed in relief as he swept his cap to and fro.
"I had forgotten about the heat that comes after Irelia and never ceases to catch me off guard. I fear my age catches up with me all too soon."
Andolin offered a playful smile.
"You always were thick of skin. I doubt it much bothers you, young Thaen."
Thaen rode closer to the wizard. He lowered his head conspiratorially.
"Remember to whom you speak, wise one. I am not the boy you instructed. Though I think fondly of you, like an uncle even, I must be addressed as Lord King, or with similar respect. I trust you can set aside the necessities."
Andolin, sage of Samrael, nodded, his smile all but faded, save the twinkle in his eye. The old wizard looked forward, gripping the reins. He lifted his chin and said,
"He is a mirror mind, Lord King. It is a dark and powerful magic. A practice thought lost at the closing of the Age of Alador. It is believed that catoptromancy and many other deviant arts were lost when Alador, High King of Dorshak, vanquished the sorcerer Galdashi. Humanity had nearly been placed in shackles, and Alador alone defeated the Mirror Mage.
Thaen slowed his horse and turned to his wizard.
But that's ancient history. Myth, maybe. The Age of Alador ended over 1,000 years ago, when Phaedon the Fool brought the curse of mirrors upon the city.
That is true. Phaedon coveted that power once wielded by his father's enemy. But none can harness it, as you know from the stories.
Andolin interjected.
Yet this man, this Haethryn Silverslinger...
Thaen hissed.
My lord king. This is what is so troubling. In truth, I wish to send a pigeon to Samrael and let my brethren confer upon this. But in my loyalty to you, I would ride and meet him first,
the sage said.
And you are well received for it, old friend,
replied Thaen. Andolin nodded.
This Haethryn has somehow dredged up the old magics that threaten to enslave every race upon this world.
The old sage looked blankly out across the fields of Ferahen as the host crested the hilltop. He looked toward the shadow, to that ruined capital of ancient Dorshak on the edge of the eastern mountains. The towering ruins there spawned shifting shadows that defied the light of the suns, shades that held no correlation with the crumbling buildings that cast them.
There is much more to that tragedy that befell Phaedon and the kingdom of Dorshak.
The host increased its pace as it plunged down the hill. Andolin continued.
The strength of ancient Dorshak waned in the wake of Alador's death. The burden of kingship fell to his only son, Phaedon. And indeed, many sought to depose him, including his uncle, Nethrador. In Phaedon's attempt to keep order, he sought the burial mound of that dark wizard, Galdashi. What fell secrets he learned there are forgotten to the sages of Samrael. It is said he went mad, constructing great mirrors atop the tallest towers of Dorshak. These were shrouded in great canvases until the day Nethrador led a revolt, backed by Dedridal, the High King of Thrall. A great host surrounded the ancient city. Phaedon ordered the massive mirrors to be exposed, to show his people the power he found. But whatever power he thought he commanded betrayed him. The mirrors shattered the once great city before shattering themselves. Herendal was founded not long after, as refugees settled here. Your ancestors laying claim as regents to a desperate people. There is a good reason that no mirrors are made in Herendal, and those that are found to be imported are destroyed. Even metals are buffed to a dullness that obscures their sheen. The waters of Herendal flows through aqueducts warded by my forebearers to hold no reflection.
The old sage paused for a time. Then he said,
Some say those shadows cast from the ruins of Dorshak are hollow reflections of that fell magic. There is a reason why we call it the Mad City, for even the shadows outside the walls are said to drive a man insane. We should be cautious and not follow them there, Lord King.
Thaen scowled, looking onward to that ruined city, that mad city. And blinded by a need for vengeance, the young king spurred his horse to the front of the column. Haethryn and Sindar pushed their steeds onward, approaching the sprawling shadows that emanated from the mad city of Dorshak. Those dark shapes licked outward, tasting the land. They were hollow imitations of a once great city, and Sindar felt as if they were attempting to be real. Hathren had retrieved his sword, this other aspect of himself, leaving that mirror back in Herendal, lest he be pulled from his realm and consigned to the reflection, trapped in a barren nothing, as his other aspect now was.
"Just like old times, hey, love?"
he called over to Sindar. His face was caked in dried blood, as were the clothes he wore. She looked forward toward the mad city, resolution on her face.
"Do you hate me, Sindar?"
asked Hathrin's reflection. After a time, she sighed and spoke.
"I could never hate you, for you are merely an aspect of the man I have loved and still choose to love for all his faults. Though you represent his less desirable qualities, I suspect there is something similar that dwells in all of us. If you dig deep enough."
Ever the philosopher, the dark reflection of Hathren spurred his steed after her as she increased her speed. His twin scars now adorned the opposite side of his face, a reflection cast into this waking world. He was only half a soul, but the power of reflection granted much in exchange. Still, a curse it was. The shadows of ancient Dorshak engulfed them suddenly, playing tricks of light across the landscape. Sindar slowed her horse, babbling in confusion.
"Where did we... have we gone? Why am I..."
She turned her horse about, and Hathren stopped short of her.
"Be calm, Sin. The shadows play mind games here. Those great mirrors still cast reflections upon this plane. We must remember we go into the shattered city to unite my soul once more, if it is possible."
Hathren grabbed the reins of her horse, meeting her distant gaze.
"Keep your eyes on me and do not wander. We leave the horses at the gate."
They rode through the shadows cast by Dorshak, which sprawled over the land, to all of existence, even. They rode through the echoes of something that once was, something that longed to be more, until the great splintered gates of Dorshak lay before them. They squeezed through a small opening in the shattered wood, leaving their steeds behind. The city took them in, offering shadows that defied what cast them. Crumbling towers casting undulating tendrils, and long shadows twisting malevolence with no apparent source. It offered sounds and silence. Streams of sand rebuilt crumbling structures as the white stone destroyed itself in other places. And the shadows danced for all. Hathren grabbed Sindar's face and held her forehead to his.
"You are here with me. Stay here, Sin. Do not let this city take you," he said.
Sindar murmured quietly to herself in a language that may have never been real. Sindar almost felt like this was not the reflection of her husband, but she knew better. For he would have to look upon a mirror and lock eyes with his own reflection once more to come back to her. Still, she felt comforted knowing that his soul might be repaired, that two might become one. She nodded and brushed off her tunic, fixing her rapier at her side.
"I am here, Hathren. I am here, for now at least," she said.
Hathren sighed. Regardless of which aspect of his soul was present, the love he felt for her was stronger than anything he knew. Both pieces of his soul would die for her, should it come to that.
Sindar knew that as well, perhaps better than Haythrin. I'll need you with me if I'm to piece my soul back together. I may be divided in two, but it has always been you who owns it, said the reflection of the man she loved. Sindar nodded.
Let's find what we need with haste. We are surely hunted by Herendal, though I do not know if they would dare enter the city. Perhaps they would wait to ensnare us as a spider in a web.
The lovers moved further into the crumbling city, shadows threatening to deprive them of their sanity. Yet they endured, through their bond and by sheer will, to resist the dark temptations offered by those undulating shadows. Great blocks of stone lie strewn about the once great causeways of Dorshak, and between the masonry, Sindar would catch glimpses of glass that had once been the great and terrible mirrors of Faden the Fool. Now they lay stained and shattered, offering no reflections after 1,000 years of dust claimed the surfaces of the shards.
I could have him look into one. I could have the other aspect, Sindar thought.
But she decided that this darker aspect would be more useful in this sort of situation. Though he lacked any moral understanding of his once humanity, Haythrin's reflection was powerful and willful. She knelt, grabbing a piece of broken mirror and wiping it clean in case it was needed. Shadows grew long and then short, then long again. The towers weren't tall enough or short enough to make sense of it. It was like a puzzle of shades where no answer was good, yet every answer was right. Down, up, left, right, circles, squares, squares and circles, and shadows. Shadows upon shadows.
What if Herendal Gate us greets? Thought about, have I?
Sindar asked.
What? Your sense-making of not understand,
Haythrin replied, shaking his head. The confusion gripped them, spinning thoughts into riddles and jumbled jabbering as they tried to decipher one another's speech.
In we are, shadows. Cast them, do!
Sindar twitched as she spoke at Haythrin, whose scars were on the wrong side of his face. He seemed to skip from one place to another in slow intervals and fast bursts.
Say to mean shade bad? Good place, light self, get... what?
Haythrin slapped at his temple.
Shade bad? Good... what?
Sindar took a deep breath and shook herself violently.
Shadow bad, good light,
was all she managed to say before lunging into the sunlight between the shifting shadows of the ruins. There was clarity there. It was like learning to speak, yet knowing how to do so all the same.
Haythrin, come out from the shadows. We must stay in the sunlight, lest we lose ourselves,
Sindar explained in her moment of clarity. Haythrin looked at her for a moment, letting drool escape his lower lip, then laughed.
For the sake of all that is holy,
Sindar plunged back into the undulating shadow of some non-existent tower and grabbed Haythrin, thrusting him into the light of the suns. She nearly forgot why she was there, but remembered before the confusion took hold. She leapt onto the warm stone, an oasis of bright white in the light of the two suns. They gathered themselves in that light, sanity returning, the confusion of the shadows vanquished for a time.
This truly is the mad city, Haythrin. I know not how long it has been, nor if we have escaped the creeping confusion that plagues these streets,
said Sindar, her breasts heaving as she lay on the white stone, soaking in the sun.
Aye, were not for you, I would have stood in the shadows of this place until my mind was a barren shell. That was quick thinking.
in a place where thoughts come slowly, no less. Haythrin said. He shook the daze from himself and looked up at the two suns that beamed overhead. We have been in this place for hours, of that I am certain, for the suns are nearly upon each other in the sky. I am Sindar. I have won battles against worse odds. I am still here, Sindar said to herself. She was grounded once more in the reality of the waking world, and conscious understanding of their task flooded in as she stood to look up at the sky with Haythrin. He was right. Several hours had been lost in the shadows of that mad city. Sindar looked around for a time, and Haythrin watched her intently. The emerald-eyed lady snapped a finger.
We must limit our time to these shadows as much as can be managed. We shall stick to these areas of sunlit ruin and make our way cautiously. If we must go into the shadows, it should be one at a time, so that one of us is always coherent. What say you?
You speak true. It's as good a plan as can be made here in the City of Madness. The reflection of his half-self took a step forward, but a gentle hand clasped at his tunic, and he turned to face those emerald eyes. They mesmerized Haythrin always, regardless which aspect now walked outside the mirror. He was the darker half of himself. He had slain innocents along with the king the night before, yet there was some warmth there.
Haythrin, you promised to tell me everything. Well, the other one did. But I think you need to hold to that pledge. For me. Why do we come to this cursed city? What do we seek?
Sindar quested. Haythrin sighed and rubbed at the scars that ran down the wrong side of his face. I sought for a way to reunite my soul. To be whole. For you. I only left you to spare you from my torment. For I have two minds that utterly oppose one another, though the soul we share loves you deeply. I learned of a tome robbed from the barrow of the dark sorcerer Geldeshi. If such a grimoire still exists, we shall find it in the home of Faden. We go to the heart of it all. We go to the palace of this mad city. This darker aspect of Haythrin smiled somberly and pointed to the great keep wrought of white stone, its staircase shrouded in shifting shadows. They shared a passionate kiss, the world seeming to float away, leaving nothing but them behind. And so Haythrin and Sindar made their way further into the depths of the mad city of Dorshak. The City of Madness. Dorshak was once the greatest city to ever grace the West. Now it lies in shadow, a hollow reflection of its former glory. The Age of Alador by Kent of Hereldaen. The host of Erendal passed through the confusion of shadows as they approached the gate, for Andalin, Sage of Samrael, held a great warding spell over them for a time. Captain Throidel rode up to King Tha'en and his wizard, who took counsel at the column's center.
Lord King, there's no way through Bamont. We must make our way into the city by foot if we're to proceed,
he said, his pupils dilating abnormally as the shadows shifted.
I cannot keep this ward up for much longer, for there are too many souls under my protection. Once inside, I can only conjure a warding over a small area. There are limits to my power, said the sage.
King Tha'en nodded to both in turn.
We go into the city. We will rest once my father has been avenged.
He looked to Andalin then, who held his wand before him, uttering incantations in some archaic language.
Do what you can, wizard, but save your strength. We shall have need of it when we face the mirror mind. That I am certain.
Then the host dismounted, filing one by one through the cracked gate of the mad city. King Thaen, the sage Andalin, and Captain Throidel entered last with the rear guard. The prince turned king, looked on in horror as he followed the old sage through the splintered gate. The warriors of Herendal meandered about idiotically, swiping at the air, uttering unintelligible speech, or staring blankly into nothing.
We must waken them to their senses. They've lost their minds. They have lost everything. I have led thee to a fate worse than death.
Thaen realized as he sank to his knees, sobbing. Andalin lifted the young man, wrenching the collar of his tunic violently.
On your feet! We must be brave, young Lord King. We have committed ourselves, and I can only protect this small area around us.
The sage of Samrael lifted his wand high and bellowed.
Those who still have a mind, stay close and do not wander. The madness of mirrors will tempt you if you let it.
The remaining score of sane men and women of the rear guard cowered tightly around Andalin, the king himself clutching to the blue fabric of the wizard's cloak. The other 80 men that had made up the host of Herendal scurried about. They slew one another with brutal ferocity, breaking into small skirmishes here and there. Some fed on the flesh of dead friends. Some fed off the flesh of living friends, who howled with each tearing bite. The strongest of mind slew themselves. Thaen's remaining party bore witness as they advanced into Dorshak, the mad city. One man plucked out his eyes and chanted,
"My eyes are jewels I should not see. My eyes are jewels I should not see,"
offering them to the young king as they passed by. Most of the unfortunate warriors of Herendal just murmured incoherently, lost in some pattern of jabbering nothingness. The mad city exacted its toll, and those who remained sane pushed on. They left their comrades behind, now other than human, chittering and clicking like hungry insects. The two suns were getting low in the sky by the time Hathren and Sindar summited the stairs leading to the palace, that final step standing tall above crumbling Dorshak. Hathren looked down upon the city and said,
"We spent too much time navigating the shadows here."
"Aye, we did spend too much time. But we both have our sanity to thank for it,"
Sindar replied.
"I fear what tricks these shadows may play when the suns are gone,"
Hathren mused as the suns moved downward into the sky.
"So let's get in. Get the book, unite your soul, and get out of this forsaken ruin. We waste more time with talk."
Sindar snapped her finger, ushering him forward. The palace of Dorshak was as wide as it was tall. It was an exercise in expert masonry, with its vaulted ceilings and intricate archways. The library was easy to find, tucked directly behind Phaedon's throne room.
"Phaedon the Fool, he was called. Yet he may have held the greatest library ever known," Hathren said as he set his eyes on the sprawling vastness of scrolls and bound books.
"Let's find this tome and be done with this place," said Sindar.
They scoured the shelves lining the walls, then moved inward and upward. There was nothing of mirror magic, nor of reuniting a broken soul. There was nothing. Sindar sat down on a divan in the center of the library next to a small oak table. After a time, Hathrin joined her with a sigh.
I fear this has been for naught, my ruby-haired jewel.
Sindar smiled.
You, even your darker side, can be quite sweet at times. Though you're a murdering bastard, I wouldn't be anywhere else if I could.
Sindar dropped her jaw and pointed to the center of the table. Lying there was a solitary book bound in decayed leather, a small mirror adorning its cover. Sindar hopped up and grabbed the book.
This is it. It has to...
She trailed off.
You know, you will see your reflection here. You must do this of your own accord. You two will be one again. You want this?
Hathrin, whose scars were on the wrong side of his face, nodded grimly.
I know.
She handed him the book, an innocent smile washing over his face as he peered into the mirror on the book's cover, his twin scars now lining the correct side.
Hello, Sin. I'm back, Hathrin said, the weight of everything seeming to have no effect on him.
He grinned at her. Then he opened the book, his face shifting back to that brooding other half of himself. He flipped through the pages, scars rearranging on either side of his face as he stared into them. Each one was a metallic slip of polished reflection. Each page he turned shifted the aspects of Hathrin back and forth through the mirror image of himself. Each page was a reminder of his failure. Then he reached the end of the book. The final page offered a small reflection. But this last reflection was not his own. It was a middle-aged man with a long black beard and gray eyebrows. The man in the reflection looked surprised.
Oh, so I've been discovered at last. Have you come to free me from this prison? Be it death or life, I care not. I can't bear any more of this nothingness, this barren immensity of sprawling absence.
The face said from within that last page of the book. Hathrin drew back, parallel scars lining the correct side of his face once more.
With whom do I speak?
He asked.
I am Faden, son of Alador, High King of Dorshak. Now release me, I command you,
the book shouted. Hathrin looked to Sindar. He sighed and looked back down at the reflection in the book, then said,
I fear we are both doomed to our fates, for I sought this tome in the hopes of reuniting my soul, and all I've found is a regent from 1,000 years ago.
Then my body is gone, and I am truly in a hell of my own.
The ancient king laughed through the book.
I am sorry, ancient king. I cannot even help myself.
Hathrin sat on the divan, and Sindar put a hand to his knee. The voice from the mirror book sighed, then chanted softly.
Brilliant the eyes against dark canvas, guiding the craft like so many before, reflecting away against dark sadness to distant moor, tread upon further shore. So close now, can you hear it? A song as old as human memory, a name long forgotten. A primal desire keeps the rhythm useless against the unceasing march of time. The sweetest fruit, if never enjoyed, will only decay until it is rotten. Though dusky skies veil the sun, there are stars that still yet shine. Beyond this great deception, there lies something that has been lost and can only be found by those who dare not seek it. Beyond this great deception, there is only you. there is only you and your darkest reflection. An old song from before my father's time. The voice from the book trailed off. Hathrin sat forward and peered into the reflection of the ancient king.
How do I break this curse? Reunite my soul?
He asked. The mirror tome responded with laughter. If I knew, I wouldn't be here, would I? Hathrin sighed knowingly.
Well, at least help us be free from here. This place warps the mind. The shadows in the city act on their own. How can we leave safely?
He asked. Aye, that. The great mirrors I constructed long ago. They held this city in their image. This city is more than one city, in a way. When the mirrors shattered, so too did Dorshak. Its reflection remains. Those shadows are the reflection of what the city once was, what it could have been, and what it wants to be. Many half-souls are in those shadows, longing to be free. Let the sun's light die and walk into the moonlight, for moonlight is also a reflection. Pure and untainted, mirror magic fades in its light. The king within the book writhed like a flickering candle.
You should know, if one of you dies, the other is trapped, as I am.
Tell me, Hathrin, will you do me the service of burning this book? I can't stand to exist like this. Not for another 1,000 years.
Aye, King Phaedon of Dorshak, I can do that service, what little it is. Thank you for the knowledge, though I fear I'm cursed to walk with my reflection.
Hathrin replied. He looked to Sindar then and said,
Let us wait for the moon to rise, and we shall take our leave of this fell city.
The party of King Thaen trudged onward as a crescent moon waxed overhead, the shadows of the city growing smaller and less agile.
Look, Lord King, the assassins come down the great steps, said Captain Throidel,
a finger aimed at the figures moving carelessly down the steps from the palace.
They walk freely? Why are their minds not twisted by this mad city, wizard?
King Thaen asked angrily.
I don't know, my king. They use some magic I have yet to understand,
Andolin replied. Captain Throidel put a finger to his lips, whispering,
Let us wait for them here. We remain hidden in the rubble. We may ambush them and take them alive to be racked upon the wheel, as you wished.
King Thaen nodded.
Yes, if there's any chance they might escape us, we shall slay them here. But you listen well, Captain. The wheel is preferable.
He whispered back. Hathrin and Sindar reached the bottom of the stairs quickly. Guided by the moon, they feared no madness of the ancient city and plunged into those moonlit streets, the mirror tome tucked under Hathrin's arm. They ran for a short while down a winding street of white cobble. Sindar stopped. Hathrin slowed as well, looking back.
What is it?
He asked.
Something is off, Hathrin. I can feel it, said Sindar, peeling her rapier from its scabbard. Then maybe we should change.
A spear whizzed past Hathrin. He dropped the book and unsheathed his blade. Its jeweled pommel twinkled in the light of the moon.
The score of skilled warriors from Erendal descended upon them, and the two lovers fought back to back, their blades of frenzy painting scenes of ghastly crimson. Several of the warriors of Erendal were slain during their charge, but they continued to press inward. Sindar parried a spear thrust with a rapier, then thrust its needle tip into the man's chest. He dropped back with a curse, replaced by another spearman. Hathrin chopped at the shield of one of the warriors, cleaving the woman's head in with his second strike. The lovers were surrounded, death on all sides, hungry spear tips surrounding them. Sindar parried furiously, leaving no one alive at the end of her thin rapier. The warriors of Herendal backed off, keeping their distance as their friends bled on the stones, her parries doing little more than staving off the inevitable. A young blonde man emerged from the shadows, his thin beard and scrawny features hardly the archetypal regent.
"Now you are surrounded, Silver Slinger!"
King Thaen growled. His wizard, Andalin, Sage of Samrael, stepped into the moonlight behind him.
"And you, you serpent tongue! My father trusted you! I trusted you! I loved you, Sindar!"
Thaen's voice shook with despair.
"How could you betray him? Betray me! You shall comfort each other in hell! Kill them!"
Thaen cried. Captain Throidel readied his blade.
"My lord, do we not wish to take them back to Erendal?"
Sindar parried another spear thrust and then breathed.
"We had no intention of killing your father, Thaen. I swear to this by all that is good in the world. My husband is cursed to walk with his reflection, cursed with a severed soul. He creates one day, then destroys it all the next. And because I love him, I am cursed as well."
Then she threw the shard of the mirror she had pocketed.
"Death to them now!"
cried King Thaen. They pressed the lovers into the shadow of a tower that had not existed for 1,000 years, out of the moonlight. Hathrin leapt toward the king, falling into the spearmen, crashing upon them like a hurricane wind. Two fell instantly, and another impaled his leg with the tip of his spear, pinning him to the ground. Hathrin smiled, though, for the mirror shard was in his hand. He looked into the deep gold eyes of his reflection. Then he changed. This other aspect of Hathrin was always faster, stronger, and willing to forego his precious humanity. The mirror mind pulled the spear from his leg, shattering it with his grip. He spun, whipping the spear tip into the neck of the one closest. He pirouetted, snatching up his sword, dismembering two more of the king's men. Now they were focused on Hathrin, mirror shard and sword in hand. Sindar sliced away as the skirmish shifted. Within moments, the only ones left alive were the two lovers, a king, his wizard, and the warriors of Erendal who went mad, their jabbering still audible from afar. Hathrin took a knee.
"What are you?"
asked Thaen, his once honorable host, now a grisly smear under the crescent moon, decorating the mad city, white stones now shimmering red in the moonlight.
"I am all my savagery. I am everything I hate in myself. I am everything I abhor. I am my own nightmare, and now I am yours."
Hathrin's reflection offered. Thaen backed away as Sindar pulled her thin blade from the last of Herendal's warriors. They were all dead now, or chittering mindlessly in the darkness of that fell city.
"We will go now, though I would slay you if it would please my beloved," Hathrin said, looking at Sindar.
"We will seek no further wrath upon you, Lord of Sword and Mirror,"
Andalin gave a wizardly bow to the blood-soaked lovers.
"Let us be rid of this mad city
and this darkness that dwells here. Please, young Theen.
The wise sage of Samrael pleaded, tapping the young king's shoulder with his wand. The king, who was crowned that morning, Theen of Erendol, said,
I thought I told you, old man, you will address me as befits a king.
He peeled the wand from the old wizard's grasp and plunged it into his eye, blinding the old sage who had loved him as his own son. With unanticipated movement, Theen snatched up a spear and thrust it toward Sindar.
No!
She heard Hathrin shout. Sindar sidestepped and spun, whipping her rapier in a crescent arc. She felt the ripping of flesh at the end of her blade, and King Theen's eyes went wide. There was a fine trickle of crimson from the thin slit on his throat. Then the crimson river spurted his life away generously. Sindar watched the king fall, life fading from his eyes as he bled atop the wizard whom he had betrayed. Theen grasped at the sage's robes pathetically, pleading for help, but the wizard lay unmoving, a wand jutting from his mangled eye. King Theen died there. Thus, two kings of Herendal died in 2 days with the coming of the two sons. Sindar wiped the blood from her rapier, sheathing the thin blade.
Hathrin, let's go. Before the moon fades behind the clouds, we must...
My love,
Hathrin gasped. He was sitting upright, a spear tip protruding from his back, the shaft securely lodged in his chest.
Oh, gods, no!
Sindar knelt, ripping cloth from her tunic and placing it against Hathrin's chest. Blood was spurting around the shaft of the spear. She ripped his shirt open and wished she hadn't. It was a jagged wound, splinters lodged in the edges.
We can get through this. We'll stop the bleeding, then we can seek aid amongst the hill folk beyond the Fairhand fields. We can stop. My love, I am finished. Finally,
Hathrin said softly. Tears flowed freely down Sindar's cheeks.
Light a fire, my scarlet jewel,
Hathrin asked, his twin scars still on the wrong side of his face.
I can do that,
Sindar said.
Now hand me a mirror so that he may look upon you one last time.
Sindar nodded and handed the mirror shard to him. Then he peered into his own golden eyes once again, shifting aspects and leaving half of himself somewhere else. The man before her was hers, her Hathrin. Half of himself, yet she felt that half of Hathrin's soul was all she ever needed.
Thank you, my sweet Sin,
Hathrin said weakly.
Quiet, my love. Save your strength,
Sindar sobbed. The mirror walker leaned his head back and said,
Burn the book, for we made a promise.
His breath grew shallow, and he closed his eyes as if to rest.
Don't be afraid, my ruby. When you stand in the light of the suns, they are but a shadow. Though my soul is not whole, both halves have only ever belonged to you.
Hathrin grasped at the spear in his chest, then clasped her hand and laughed.
You walked with me in moonlight tonight, and now I hold your hand. Did I not sing to all that my heart was to be? Your prize.
Then Hathrin slumped forward, dying in the arms of the only person who understood him. Sindar sighed and wiped the tears from her cheeks.
Then she stood, gathered kindling, and lit it to flame. The warmth of the fire attempted to comfort her, but she felt like nothing would ever take the cold she now felt away. Sindar tossed the ancient book into the flames, then stood. A glint of moonlight caught Sindar's eye, and a reflection looked back at her from that shard of broken mirror. She looked up at the crescent moon and roared in agony. Sindar lowered her head, and her cries faded into the unsettling quiet. The fire died, leaving only the distant sounds of those who had gone insane echoing throughout that